This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. Never Give Up on Love is the title of Pastor Sandy's message today as he teaches through 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Years ago, I was listening to his radio program when James Dobson interviewed a lady who was dying of cancer. When she was first diagnosed, one doctor told her that she could live out the rest of her days on the beach somewhere. He suggested she just go out and enjoy the sun and the surf. Just go to Acapulco. That would be great. Take advantage of the short time you have left to live. Another doctor, though, suggested she could undergo grueling, brutal radiation and chemotherapy sessions with the hope of extending her life maybe 2, maybe 4 years. Well, she chose the treatments to extend her life. And this is the explanation for it that she gave to her 3 small children. She wrote, "I've chosen to survive for you. This has some horrible costs, including pain, loss of my good humor and moods I won't be able to control. But I must try this, if only on the outside chance that I might live 1 minute longer, and that minute could be the one you might need me when no one else will do. For this I intend to struggle tooth and nail, so help me God." Her care for her kids showed love's willingness to suffer long. Paul also writes, love is kind. It's not harsh. Love isn't demanding. Love leads rather than pushes. Love's urgings are respectful. Its proddings are gentle. Love does not envy. It never wants the blessing that God chooses for someone else. In other words, it reads the name tags on the gifts before it grabs them. And it's happy for the person who gets the nice gift. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't show off. It doesn't attract attention to itself. It's not puffed up. Love is humble. It doesn't mind picking up a towel and washing some dirty feet. The purer the love, the lesser the pride. As a father of 4 kids, over the years, I've picked 4 noses. I've wiped 4 rumps. And I've cleaned the wax out of 8 ears. And I can honestly say I never once minded, at least not the noses and the ears. But real love doesn't mind the dirty work. And love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Love doesn't intend to embarrass anyone. It's always concerned about the feelings of the other person. Reminds me of the young bride-to-be who went to purchase material to make her wedding dress. She asked for the noisiest material available. The clerk thought that was an odd request until the young girl explained, "My fiancé is blind, and I want him to hear when I reach the altar so he won't be embarrassed." Love is not provoked. As the NIV puts it, keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't hold grudges. Love thinks no evil. It doesn't jump to negative conclusions. It always gives the benefit of the doubt. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love doesn't take delight in someone else's sin. It's not waiting on the day when the other person blows it so bad it finally has a justification for giving up on that person. No, love isn't looking to resign. It grieves over iniquity and sin. Remember, it was love hanging on the cross crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How many times has love repeated that same statement in regards to your life? 100 times? 1,000? Maybe 100 times this week? Paul concludes, love rejoices in the truth. Love despises clouds of suspicion. It's irritated by gossipy whispers. It celebrates when the truth is made known. Love bears all things. Love has broad enough shoulders to bear the embarrassment of another person's sin or shortcoming. Love stands up for the person who's fallen. If Jesus can bear the sin of the world with his help, we can bear the shame of our child or a friend. Love believes all things. Love is the eternal optimist. Love never gives up on what should be and can be. Love looks past the actual and always sees the potential. And love hopes all things. No matter how dark the sky grows, no matter how fierce the storm rages, love believes the sun will shine again. Love knows that the night doesn't last forever. A new day eventually dawns. And love endures all things. 39 lashes laid to his back. 7-inch iron spikes pounded into his wrists and ankles. A ring of thorns piercing his sweaty brow. Blood oozing into his eyes. A pointed javelin thrust between his ribs. The jeers of the crowd. The terrifying rush of sin over his spotless soul. Feelings of isolation from his Father in heaven. A tightly wound shroud. And 3 days in a wet, cold tomb. That's what love endured for you. Love endures all things. And with the love of Jesus, we can endure problems in our marriage, rebellion in a child, difficulties with a friend or a fellow church member, conflicts with a neighbor. Love endures. Love outlasts, and it pushes through. Love is all these things. And yet there's one more truth that applies to love. Paul shouts out the crescendo for all the world to hear. Love never fails. This is why a lover is always a hero. When my capacities diminish and my abilities begin to fade and I lose the wherewithal to impact others with my reasoning or with my speech, I can continue to influence them through my love. For love never fails. The person who loves always wins. At the end of his career, Babe Ruth was a shell of the player he had once been. No longer a slugger for the New York Yankees, he was now an error-prone right fielder for the Boston Braves. In one inning, the Babe's poor play had accounted for 5 Cincinnati runs. And as he walked off the field in shame, boos and catcalls rained down from the stands. It was really embarrassing for the former star. But when Ruth neared the dugout, a young fan jumped out of the bleachers. This little boy ran to his hero, and with tears streaming down his face, he clasped onto Babe's big leg. Babe Ruth didn't hesitate. He scooped up the child in his arms, gave him a big bear hug, and then set him down on his feet with a playful pat on his head. It was a kind and heartwarming gesture from the former star, and it impacted the crowd. The boos ceased. Suddenly, a hush fell over the stadium. A different standard was being applied to this baseball has-been. All of a sudden, his performance was not as important as his heart. And though his abilities had receded, it was his love that still made the Babe special. He still had a big heart for his fans, and in the end, it was his love that endeared the crowd to their hero. Why? Because love never fails. Jason Tuskus was a 17-year-old honor student who was also an expert swimmer and an avid scuba diver. Jason loved his parents, and they had a great relationship. He also was best friends with his younger brother, Christian. The four of them constituted a loving, tight-knit, happy family. One Tuesday morning, Jason left home, and he headed for West Central Florida, where he and his friends were going to explore some underwater caves. Jason had promised his mom he'd be home for dinner. It was her birthday, and the family had plans to celebrate. But Jason never returned. That morning, he got lost in one of the underwater caves, and he panicked. He tried to slip through a narrow passage, and he got pinned. He couldn't free himself. And at some point in the struggle, Jason realized his fate. He took off his yellow oxygen tank, and with his diver's knife, he carved a message into the paint on the tank. It read, "Mom, Dad, Christian, I love you." Obviously, Jason never stopped loving his family, even in the throes of death. He loved them to the point of death. Jason's final actions upon death were illustrative of Jesus' attitude toward his disciples. He loved them to the end. Realize, this is how Jesus loves us. He loves us to the end. His love has no expiration date or statute of limitations. His love never stops caring. His love never gives in to fatigue or disappointment or discouragement or frustration. Jesus never runs out of love. Don't doubt Paul's statement, "Love never fails," for you are its proof. That you are God's child today is the result of God's never failing, always prevailing love. Listen to what little Dave, age 8, says about love. Love will find you, even if you're trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but the girls keep finding me. Yet take that little boy's comment and substitute the word God for girls, and it becomes the story of our lives. Love will find you, even if you're trying to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but God keeps finding me. God keeps finding you, doesn't he? Perhaps you're on the run. Perhaps you've been bucking his will. You've forsaken his plan. You've rooted in and stiffened your neck. You've insisted on your own way and hardened your heart. But God keeps finding you. There's a famous poem that refers to the Holy Spirit by the metaphor, the hound of heaven. Hope you realize this morning you've been sniffed out and treed by the love of God. Without a doubt, if you're a Christian, you are proof that love never fails. Over the 14 years that we had her, I learned a lot about God's love from my dog. I could come home upset, ticked off, and vent my frustrations on my dog. I could talk to her in mean tones, and the next time I would come home, she'd be right there at my feet, wagging her tail, somehow telling me that she still loved me. A dog's love is unconditional, and so is God's. Don't misunderstand. God's acceptance of us is highly conditional. God forgives, and he bestows his favor only on people who commit their lives to his Son. But whether you accept Jesus or you reject him, God still keeps loving you regardless. His love never fails. Do you realize that God loves every soul in hell? Actually, God has never sent anyone to hell. Everyone in hell is there because they've chosen to be there. Hell is populated by folks who've rejected God's love. At times, people may fail to receive God's love, but God's love never fails. Jesus loves people today to the very end. His love never, never, never gives up. And so I ask you, why have you given up on love? You see, it's one thing for me or you to receive love, but it's an entirely different thing for you and I to believe in love. For years, I benefited from God's love for me without ever trying to live it out in my own personal life. I believe love was free for the taking. But what I didn't realize was that love should be me in the making. God wants us to live out the love with which he has loved us. On traditional church calendars, the Thursday before Easter Sunday is called Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy is Latin. It means the day of the mandate. It harkens back to the night before Jesus was crucified when he gave to his disciples a new commandment, a new mandate. In John 15, verse 12, he told them, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." They were to love one another even as he had loved them to the very end. Jesus mandated that our love be our modus operandi. For a disciple of Jesus, love is not an occasional foray. It's not an excursion from the typical routine. For the believer in Jesus, love needs to be a way of life. Ernest Gordon paints a powerful analogy in his novel, Miracle on the River Kwai. The Japanese army, they were using Scottish POWs to build a railroad bridge in the jungle. The soldiers were near despair. They had abandoned military rank and order and discipline, even decency. The Scottish soldiers were at each other's throats from the pressure of their ordeal. That is, until one afternoon, at a checkpoint, a shovel turned up missing. The Japanese officer in charge was furious. He demanded that the missing shovel be turned over immediately or else. Well, fearing that all the POWs might be killed, one of the Scottish soldiers, he stepped up. The officer laid down his gun, picked up a shovel, and beat the soldier to death. And then he made the prisoners carry the man's bloody corpse with them for the rest of the day. It was barbaric. Well, at the next checkpoint, again, the tools were counted. But this time, all the shovels were accounted for. The missing shovel was no longer missing. As it turns out, the soldier had died due to a simple miscount. Quickly, though, word traveled throughout the camp that a man had laid down his life for the sake of others. Suddenly, the attitude within the camp was radically altered. Decency and order returned among the men. The Scottish troops started caring for each other again. The prisoners began to treat each other like brothers. And this is the effect that the work of Jesus should have on us. The world laughs at those who love. Doubters scoff. Why care about folks when they don't care about you? It's better that you look out for number one. Nobody else will. But among us, love should be in fashion. Giving and sacrificing for the other guy should be in vogue. For Jesus has done that for us, and he's asked us to follow him. In secular history, an interesting quote appears from a Greek writer named Lucian. He lived between 120 and 200 AD, and he witnessed firsthand the lifestyle of the early Christians. He wasn't a Christian, but he wrote this: "It is incredible to see the fervor with which the people of that religion help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first leader, Jesus, has put it into their heads that they are brothers." Has it gotten into our heads? Has it gotten planted into our hearts that we really are brothers and sisters? When was it that you stopped loving? What was it that scared you off? See, it doesn't really matter, because on the day you came to Jesus, you received a new mandate. As kids, we loved all out. We loved with a reckless abandon. Now we're God's kids, and we need to dare to love again. Let me ask you, do you really believe in love? Do you still love your parents now that they found fault in you? Do you love your spouse now that he or she has let you down? Do you love that wayward son or daughter now that they've been a disappointment? Do you still love your estranged friend even though he's mistreated you and now wants your forgiveness? See, I believe there's a marriage here today. In the beginning, you both were givers. You served and sacrificed for each other. You thought more about each other than you did for yourself. But now you've stopped fighting to make your marriage work. You've stopped trying to keep love alive. Somewhere along the line, you've retreated into your corners. Like tired boxers, you've given up. Ladies, you want your husband to change, but rather than offer him your support, you've discovered it's easier just to point out his deficiencies. Rather than encourage him to godliness, you've become content to get your own way. And men, have you given up on love? Oh, you say it takes long hours at work. But we both know it's easier to work a little longer than it is to come home and help with the kids and minister to our wife's needs. See, it's so easy to give up on love. Perhaps you've lost your patience with your testy 2-year-old or your disrespectful middle schooler or that teenager who wants the privileges but none of the responsibilities. Why care anymore? Why try? Why keep loving? Because it's love that never fails. St. Augustine was not always a saint. There was a time when Augustine was quite the hellraiser. He drank alcohol and he gambled and he indulged in illicit sex. And his shenanigans broke his poor mother's heart. Monica was a fervent believer who loved the Lord and prayed constantly for her son. She devoted her whole life to praying for Augustine's salvation. One day, Monica was so concerned for her son's soul that she asked the priest to pay him a visit and to try to show Augustine the error of his ways. When the priest said he felt uncomfortable in visiting her son, Monica just broke down. She began to weep and sob profusely. The priest saw it, and he told her, "Lady, you have nothing to fear. It is not possible that the son of such tears should be lost forever." Augustine's mother, Monica, never gave up on her son because she never gave up on love. And eventually her love led to Augustine's conversion. You know, if you're serving God, one of the greatest temptations you will face is to give up on love. for love takes longer. If you prefer instant results, be a manipulator. Be an intimidator. Be an agitator. For a while, you can pressure people into action. You can browbeat people into compliance. You can bully them into service. Ignore love, and you'll accomplish a lot more in less time. But what will you have truly accomplished? See, our goal in serving the Lord isn't just raw results. What we should be doing is nurturing others into a maturing faith and a Christ-like character, virtues that can't be pushed or forced by us. If you want people to really grow spiritually, it takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes a lot of love. Early in my ministry, I learned a vital lesson. I had a friend I had leaned on heavily, and for months, my friend had been a constant help to me. But when he started dropping the ball, I got angry at him, and I came down hard on him. Rather than love him and let him lean on me for a while, I expected him to shape up or ship out. And so my bruised and injured friend shipped out. He left us. And I was crushed. And I remember as I prayed about it, I was trying to figure out what I had done wrong. And that's when the Holy Spirit spoke three words to me. Love never fails. I realized my awful mistake. I had given up on love. Later, I sent my friend a letter of apology, and in it, I quoted a poem. It reads as follows. I was told in the Bible that I should dare to love, and with this commandment comes strength from above. To love was my duty, and it became my delight, trusting in my Jesus, walking in His light. Love rode with my intentions when I reached out at first, but then I went with my inventions, and we took a turn for the worse. I resorted to lesser methods in relating to those I held so dear, all because I stopped believing in the love that was in gear. Love is only a gamble to those who lack in faith. For those who stick to loving have never lost a race. Never stop believing, even if love seems to fail. Continue in His loving. It is certain to prevail. Please forgive this doubter when he gave up on love. He thought he had devised a way better than to love. He failed, but maybe he has learned what the Apostle Paul said well, that love will never fail. You see, the passing time will tell. Perhaps it's a person in your office, or maybe it's a family member, or a close friend or neighbor, or even someone here at church. And they've been acting more like your enemy than your friend. They've made you mad. They've ticked you off, and they've caused you great frustration. How are you going to react? How will you treat them? Are you going to tell him off? Are you going to give her a piece of your mind if you've got any to spare? Are you going to treat them with love? Always remember, love never fails. Once upon a time, it looked as if love had failed. What was successful? What was victorious about hanging on a cross? Love had been beaten and bruised and tortured and crucified, but love kept coming back. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, then Sunday morning, love busted through. And it became apparent to everyone who saw that love still lived. Love never fails. Thus, don't you ever, ever, ever give up on love. Don't just love the people who love you. Love those that are hard to love. Love those that Jesus has put into your life that He knows are hard to love. And love them like Jesus did. Love them to the end.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. we'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.